Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Peter, if you're number five in childcare, they keep blinking you there. It's time. Well, wait a second, so you know nobody looks at you as you go. Don't act like you don't see it now. Let's go ahead and read the Bible first. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus. Let me stop here. He's not talking about people from other planets. Now, there's a whole slew of false prophets out there today who are talking to aliens. Don't let them prophesy over you. To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Now, this is the book of 1 Peter. It was a letter that the Apostle Peter wrote. Now, in the New Testament, outside of the Gospels, there are two types of letters. One were written to a specific people group, and they have the letter, the name of the group they're writing to. This is like 1 and 2 Corinthians were written to the church in Corinth. Romans was written to the church in Rome. Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus. These other group of letters are not named by the place they're written to, but by the author who wrote them. These are called the Catholic letters, not Catholic as in the church. Catholic is in the term that means the whole body. Now, there are seven Catholic letters or at-large letters. They're written by Peter, and so we have 1 and 2 Peter. They're written by John, 1, 2, and 3 John. We have James, and Jude. And so these letters take the name of the author. Now we know Peter wrote these letters, and we read in about chapter 5, he says he wrote it from the Babylonian area. Now he's not talking about Babylon as in Egypt. He's talking about Rome. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see what they talk about Babylon, the greatest fallen. Talking about Rome there. And so we believe he was in Rome. He wrote these letters, as we read in verse 1, to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He writes it to the Christians in those areas. And if you were to look at those areas that are all now in modern-day Turkey, they kind of form an arc. And it's believed that he goes and he visits all these churches, kind of in that order that he went and visited them throughout, like I said, modern-day Turkey. Now, we know that he was in that area. There's no record of him going to the other place that they call Babylon, meaning Egypt. There's no written record that Peter was ever there, though we know he was in he was in Rome, obviously, where he helped lead the church. Now, as we look also, Peter, he identifies himself in verse 1 as an apostle. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside in these areas. Now, number one, he's writing this saying, who's sending the letter? Just like in a business letter, you say who's writing it and who you're writing it to, right? You have your company's name at the top, who you're representing. You give your name and your position and who you're writing to, right? This is very important. As a church, we believe in the modern ministry of apostles and prophets. We absolutely believe in the modern ministry of apostles and prophets. But we also believe that if you're an apostle, there's somebody who calls you that. Not necessarily that term, but receives you that way. It's more important that people receive you as an apostle or prophet than you receive yourself as an apostle or a prophet. Amen? This is not Peter sending a letter saying, I don't know if you better recognize I'm an apostle, right? Like, no. They already knew he was their apostle when he helped plant these churches, right? He was their apostle. Now, say there's an apostle of a church down the street, and we could say he's an apostle in the body of Christ, possibly, but when he comes here, he doesn't just get the mic when he wants it. Because he's not an apostle to this house. When someone wants to come in and be an apostle in your life, or more often than not, a prophet in your life, it's often not how the Spirit works. Okay, I'm going to stay on the edge here. I'm not going over the edge, but let me just say this. Okay. Let me say it this way. Peter is writing in the context of relationship. It's in the context of relationship. And some people define these terms, apostle and prophet. What they say is, now that I have this title, our relationship doesn't matter. You have to receive me because that's what God calls me. And so ministry is people. And when you take relationship out, it's no longer ministry. It's weird. It gets weird. It gets controlling. It gets manipulative. When there's a one-way stream, God talks to me and I talk to you. And you do it. That's weird. Don't fall for that rope-a-dope, all right? That's people who have not worked. I mean, the gift may be there. They haven't worked it out to be able to minister the gift, right? And let me say it one other way. If you don't like someone, they're probably not your pastor. They're probably not your apostle. Definitely not a prophet of God in your life. There'll be relationship. There'll be relationship. And so we got Peter here writing a letter saying, hey, by the way, I don't know, you know, just, you know, hey, I'm the apostle here. I'm the apostle in here. I help. This is the relationship we have. I'm a sent one to you. I've helped establish these churches in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He says that these people were chosen, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. One other thing I want to talk about before we get into our study here. Verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus and be sprinkled with the blood. Leave that up for a second. This is amazing right here. That we are set apart, sanctified, by the work of the Spirit. There's a sanctifying, present participle, sanctifying work of the Spirit. When you're saved, you're set apart from the world instantly. However, there's an ongoing work of the Spirit in your life, setting you apart from the work you came out of, the world you came out of, the life that you came out of, into the call of God. There's the Spirit has to be constantly at work in your life. That's why you want to let the Holy Ghost have your way in me. See, that's what we're singing right there, right? That's what we're singing. She sang it better than me, but when I sing it, it's anointed too, right? Because I'm listening to me, right? So there's a sanctifying work of the Spirit as we yield, have your way in me, right? And so when you got saved, you didn't get all there is. Let me say it another way. You have all there is, but you don't know how to get it yet. And so you got to be set apart from the stuff that keeps you from getting it to the stuff that so you can get it. That's why when you're in the room and someone's getting touched by God and you're like, I don't feel nothing. I'm like, you might want to let the sanctifying work of the Spirit happen in your life so you can see what the Spirit is doing in the room. Right? And so also you can pray, you know, Lord, have your way in me. But the blood that has to be sprinkled to sanctify you, it says that that our mind is sprinkled by the blood to cleanse our conscience. There is a work of Jesus Christ to drive the devil out of your life. Amen? Just to drive the devil out of your life. I've been around a lot of people who like to wrestle with demons. I just like them to go away. I don't want to know their name. I don't want to know where they came from. I don't want to interview them. I don't want to have tea. I just want them to go. People want to run down names of demons. I'm like, why are you hanging out with them long enough to know their name? Who cares what your name is? We have a little thing we like to do here. We have two demon names that we cast out. Foul and wicked. Get out. Every foul and wicked demon. But it's a spirit. Okay, every unclean, foul or wicked. Get out. I don't want to know your name. Who cares? Get out. And take all your homies with you. Just go. Go by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. That is why we have power over the wicked one, because of the blood that was shed on the cross. Are you with me here? The blood that was shed on the cross gives us power over the wicked one. It releases us from the bonds of the devil. Are you hearing me? It makes the enemy have no power over our lives. Then the sanctifying work of the Spirit, sanctifying, again, present participle, continues to move us closer to God's will in our life. So in that, Those two verses, all that stuff, Peter sets the groundwork for what he's going to talk about. Now, I could just chew on that for a couple months and just try to figure that out. But that is kind of like the greeting that Peter gives. And he says this at the end of it. May grace and peace be yours. Watch this. Put it up one more time. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. What that tells me is it's possible to have grace and peace but not have all of it. Because he prayed that they would have it in the fullest measure. How much you want? The fullness. I don't know about you, but I'm after the fullness. I want the fullness. I want it all in the fullest measure. I don't know about you, I haven't had enough. I don't have enough of his grace in my life. I don't have enough of his peace in my life. I don't have enough of his power in my life. I don't have enough of his victory in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't like being around people who are bound and not seeing them get free. That bothers me. And so I don't just need enough for me and my little life. I don't need just enough for me and my little family. I don't just need me in my little church. I don't need just enough for me in my little town. I'm talking about regionally. I want to carry bucket loads. How about you? I want to carry bucket loads. I want to be able to give it out to strangers. I want to sweat it off of me and it get on people. I want to be exercising and go, whew, and people get delivered. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking. I want to see more people get healed accidentally than I'm seeing get healed on purpose right now. You know what I'm saying? I had a debate with somebody on the interwebs. Have you ever had a debate with anybody on the interwebs? That's futile often. So I don't like debating people. I just tell them, this is what I saw. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. So I had a debate with a cessationist who told me that, you know, healings don't happen anymore. It's all a placebo effect. I said, well, placebo is the most mighty God I've ever met in my life because I saw... I call him Jesus. You call him placebo. I guess that's good too, but he's making blind eyes see. I don't know if you know that. He says, that can't happen. We'll tell that to the blind person who can see now. I'm healed. No, you're not. No, I am. No, I know better because I'm on the internet. No. It's amazing how much wisdom people who stare at their computer all day have. It's amazing. Hallelujah. I say no. Tell that to the person who I saw get out of a wheelchair. Tell that to the person who wasn't able to hear. Now they hear. Tell that to the people who couldn't stop doing drugs. Now they're stopped doing drugs. Tell that to the people who couldn't stop cheating on their spouse. Now they are. Tell that to the people who were broke. And God brought them a miracle and they pay their bills. Just that placebo is a mighty God. I tell you what. It's a mighty God right there. You might just want to call placebo Jesus because he does all those things that you say placebo does. Let's get his real name to the unknown God. You call him placebo. I call him Jesus. He's mighty. He's mighty. Well, it's all in their head. Well, actually, my heart is where Christ lives. But, you know, the soul is also in my head. So, yes, I guess technically you're correct. Prophesying, you don't even know it. But let's go forward. Let's go forward to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's just move through our little study here if we can. Did you know people want to know about God? And sometimes you just tell them stuff without arguing with them. Look, I'm not here to argue. I'm just letting you know this is what's up. No, but I don't believe. Okay, I'm just letting you know what's up. You don't have to believe it, I guess. I mean, some people believe the earth is flat. You believe in placebo. Whatever, you know. We all believe in something. Verse 3. This is Peter talking to the churches. In what is now modern-day Turkey, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, oh, geez, I'm running out of time, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's see if we can unpack that in 20 minutes, shall we? First thing I want you to write down, if you have your notes, you can fill this in. Peter said that we are born again to a living hope. We've been born again to a living hope. Now, to the world, hope is an emotion that we have to work up. Hope is a choice that we have to make. Hope is it's the process of, you know, denying the truth or just, you know, not believing what's really going on. Hope is fantasy. Hope is dream life. Hope is, you know, maybe, you know, if I'm lucky, right? That's the world. But Peter says here in 1 Peter 1:3, he says, Jesus, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Hear me. This hope has life and it has vitality. This hope is alive. He says that through Jesus Christ, we're born again into a living hope. We're born into a living hope. That means this isn't something that you have to keep working up. This isn't something you got to keep trying to process and get stirred up and try to, I just need to get placebo working in my life. No. Hope is a wellspring that you can live off of. This hope is alive and it keeps rooting you on and it keeps encouraging you forward and it keeps showing you, if you'll listen, it'll keep showing you what can happen if you only believe. It shows you the greater that God has for you. I need you to know that God has not set anybody up for failure. We live in a fallen world that's filled with sin and we all have choices to make. And by and large, our lives are the product of our choices. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. Yeah, no, and some of you have stories that are tragic and terrible, and any rational person would be locked in an institution right now. But you have chosen to not let it take over your life, and I'm here to let you know you can choose to leave it in the past and move forward in the hope that Jesus Christ has for you. Do you hear me? Yeah, you give it up. This is good. You can leave it in the past and move on with your life. That is the power that Jesus Christ is offering you. He's offering you to say, this tragic thing happened. Somebody has a new hope for you that they tried to give you. It's a hope of calamity. But that's not a living hope. This hope of failure. The hope of it's never going to work out. But Jesus Christ says that when you receive him as Savior, you're born into a living hope. That means that it continually brings life. That tells you that no matter what struggle you're in, there's still a possibility that this is going to work out for the good. That in the midst of this pit, Jesus can turn all this together for good. That at your worst trial and your worst turmoil, that when it looks like nothing is going to work out good, one day you're going to look back on that season and thank Jesus that it happened. And that's crazy to think about in the abstract until you lived through it and you allowed hope to bring life into your terrible dry situation. You cannot always choose what happens to you, but you absolutely have a choice of what you do with it. You get to choose what happens from it. You get to choose what that builds in your life. You get to choose. You get to choose when you're not treated correctly, when you're treated poorly, when people sin against you. What are you going to do? You're going to let them run your life, or are you going to run your life? Because of what Jesus Christ did, you get the choice. Well, they did this, so I'm that. So they're running your life. Through Jesus Christ, you get to be you no matter what other people are doing. And the more people treat you poorly, it only strengthens your resolve to be you, not who they want you to be. That's a good word right there. Let me tell you, this is important. This isn't what the New Agers will tell you. There's people out there who use these powers and gifts of God without giving glory to Jesus. It's out there. There's false prophets. There's New Age. There's all kind of crazy stuff out there that build upon God's laws. You read any self-help book, all you're reading is Proverbs. You read a self-help book, it's just Proverbs. It's just all over God's promises. And if you get involved in God's promises, you get the fruit of it. Even if you don't give him glory for it, you still get the fruit. Right? But I don't just want a little temporary fruit. I want overcoming. Amen? Hear me. This living hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. Hear me. This living hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. Let me say it one more time. This living hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. If you got a Bible, just go to Romans 8:11. I just preached on it, and or we're just going to put it on the board here. He says, this is Paul writing to Rome. He says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, when Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, your sin was paid for. By faith in that sacrifice on the cross, your sin was taken care of, and you're given the right to be children of God and at your death go to heaven, right? Because that sin was taken care of by faith in Jesus, by that penalty being paid, you get to go to heaven. However, that doesn't give you power on earth now. But Jesus didn't stop there, right? But wait, there's more, right? Not only did he defeat sin and death, he rose from the dead defeating death. Excuse me. Not only did he defeat sin, he rose from the dead conquering death and the power of corruption. So Jesus went, he was murdered, went and he took the keys of hell, right? He just, I'll just take over here now too, just because I rule in heaven and I defeated the entire world system by never sinning. Went down, the Bible says, he stole the keys that Lucifer has down there. He's like, I'm in charge of everything now. Came back with the keys, gave them to us. This power that he gives us on the earth is rooted in the fact that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. You have to understand that Jesus rose from the dead in flesh. He came in the flesh. He was murdered. He came back in the flesh. He flew into heaven. The angels took him up in the flesh. And because of that, we have a hope that springs eternal. You might say, Pastor, I don't feel hopeful. Well, I'm saying get in the right spirit. Because there is a hope. There is mercy because of what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection. Are you with me? So Peter says that we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Are you hearing me? It's important that you understand that every bit of success you get in your life, that we give honor to the one honor is due, Jesus Christ, who through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead gave us this ability to overcome sin. Are you with me? Amen. Number two, if we read after 1 Peter 1:3, we see that we're born again to this living hope because of the resurrection. 1 Peter 1:4, he says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Number two, we're born into an inheritance. Your parents may not have left you anything. Your parents may be just as broke gets. But the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born into an inheritance. Now, I want you to see something here. If you look at your Bible, put up verse 4 again if you would. If you look in your Bible, if you have it on right now, you'll see it says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. If you see it, the word obtain and which is are in italics. Do you see that in your Bibles? Do you see that? You see that? That means that that's not really in the Bible. That means that when they translated the Bible, the people who translated it from the original Greek were trying to help you understand what the words mean. So that's their take on what the words mean. But it's not actually in the Bible. You're like, but I see it right there, Pastor. But it's not in the original scriptures. So if we were to take it out, the words that some guy put in there to make us believe the Bible meant one thing, let's read it without that, right? I'm going to kind of read verse 3 and 4 without these words, right? He says that he's caused us, watch this, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance imperishable and undefiled. Now, why does that matter? Because he says he didn't get us saved so that one day we would get an inheritance. We were born into a living hope and into an inheritance. Hear it again. Into a living hope and into an inheritance. Let me give you a natural example of this. Some of you got saved or plugged in with Jesus while we were in this school. Amen? People in here? Yeah, let me give a clap of praise if that's you. You got touched by God in this place for the first time with this church. Yeah, now come on, lift your hands up, please. You joined our church in this school. Clap louder. You joined our church in this school. You didn't pay for any of this stuff. When you got here, we had all this stuff already. You didn't show up and we say, well, one day you can go to a church service that has stuff. You got plugged into an inheritance. Does this make sense? You just get the benefits of what everybody's already done. So when you got saved, it's not like one day you can get the benefit of this salvation over in the sweet by and by. When you die and go to heaven, then all our worries, then all, they push it off into either after death or when Jesus comes back and does something magical on the earth, right? But that's not what the scriptures tell us. Hear me for a second. This is very good. You need to hear this. We were born again to a living hope and an inheritance. That means right now you have access to an inheritance. This inheritance, there's people in this room, you've had inheritances and somebody else squandered it. Somebody else used it for their own benefit. Somebody else took it and maybe the lawyers chewed it up or maybe a relative took it or you know, it never got to you because somebody else squandered it, right? Peter says, listen, this inheritance, he says, it's incorruptible, undefiled. He said, it doesn't grow whole. It doesn't grow old. And it's reserved for you in heaven. Nobody can touch it because it's for you. You're like, well, Pastor, it says right there, it's in heaven. Well, let's look at the scriptures for a moment because I need you to see this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 clearly says that Jesus said that whatever's in heaven, we need to pray that it happens here on earth. There's stuff in heaven, and he's like, it needs to be here. How does that happen? You listen to Jesus, you obey, you get it here. That's our job as Christians. What is in heaven that we pray it happen on earth. We don't just wait for Jesus to make it happen on earth. That's our job. On earth as it is in heaven. If it was his job, why would we pray for it? On earth as it is in heaven. Well, you're like, well, I'm not in heaven yet. Clearly, that's for when we die. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that Jesus, or the Father raised up Jesus, seated him at the right hand, and that we're seated with him in those heavenly places. Now, we're seated, hear me, with Jesus in heavenly places. Let me say it again. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. You're like, that's funny, because I feel like I'm here right now. You are. These are heavenly places. Welcome. Welcome to heavenly places, Revival Life Church. No. That means that authoritatively, we have a seat at the table in heaven. At the right hand of God, which, by the way, are where your inheritances are being protected so they can't be squandered, they won't rot, nobody can take them. So while we're in heaven, seated in heavenly places, we might as well pick up some of our inheritance on the way back here. Amen? I mean, if I have access there, I have access here because I'm a citizen of both kingdoms. Amen? Remember, we have citizenship here on earth, but we also have citizenship in the kingdom of God. By the way, you have a seat reserved for you there at the right hand of the Father, and not for nothing, you also have an inheritance that is protected there that is yours that no one else can touch. Amen? You can't squander it. You can't blow it. It's not like he has it reserved in heaven, and he told you about it, and if you mess up, you don't get it anymore. When your great uncle dies, and he leaves you money, and you decide to become a crack addict, they don't not give you the money. It's yours. I recommend you don't smoke it all, though. That's just my recommendation. Just wait a little bit, right? I had my grandfather on my mother's side. he was a man of means, and he died when I was somewhere around, I want to say eight or nine. And long story short, he left some money for all the grandkids. Not a lot, but enough, you know, like it was a lot to me. And when I was 8, he left it for us. And here's what he did. He said, when we turn 18, we start getting an interest check quarterly from this for 10 years. And then after 10 years, we would get the money. So that was a full 20 years after he passed. I got the money. Well, why did he do it that way? So I didn't blow it all at once. Get a little season to figure out how this whole thing works of having a little bit of money, right? Our father is way more wise than even my grandfather, right? So as you're born, you get all kinds of power, all kinds of authority. Remember Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, it'll be done for you. Remember that? Remember that? Whatever, whatever. And then they said, hey, let's go ahead and call down fire on their heads and kill all these people. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, that's not what I meant. Right? So we have full authority, but he's not stupid in giving us everything we ask for. Because he doesn't want us to corrupt it. Some of you have not walked in your ministry yet because he's preserving it. He's preserving your testimony. He's preserving your reputation. He's preserving that season. Because sometimes you don't get a second shot. Sometimes God is so merciful, but sometimes people aren't, and he knows that. And sometimes you don't get a second shot, and so he just gives you little by little so you can figure how to work with the anointing, work with favor, work with the blessing, work with breakthrough, so you can figure out how to live this life of freedom without going off the rails and acting like a fool. God is amazing that way. He protects this thing. It's reserved for you, but you have access to it right now. You can have as much of God and his blessings as you want. There's no limitation. You can have as much as you want to be hungry for. You can have as much as you want to press in for. You can have as much as you want to die to for. Does that make sense? Many of you know when you got saved, the first thing you had to give up was your pride. Some of you just walking to the front at a service was like, people are going to see me. And I don't want people seeing me walking forward because I've been lying about being saved all the time. I'm a Christian. Oh, I don't need to go to church. I'm a Christian. Knowing you a heathen. And you had to make that long, dreaded walk to the front. Can you imagine? Jesus died on a cross for your sins, the spotless Lamb of God who never sinned, allowed himself to be murdered and beaten all over Jerusalem, and we're worried about walking 15 feet in an air-conditioned church. What are people going to say, you know? Well, they're probably not going to spit on you and put a crown of thorns and beat you to death. It's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to say, yeah, and then not remember, you know, and then just go and eat some chicken or something, you know? Right? We make ourselves a little more important than we are at times, right? Can I say that, honey? We just make ourselves a little more important. You think everybody's looking at you? Nobody even knows you're here, right? They're thinking about themselves. If somebody greeted you today and you're a first-time visitor, that's better than most churches in Boca. They don't even notice you in most churches. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you know, just get what God has for you. Get what God has for you. But often, the first thing you got to give up for Christ is like, you got to say, well, I'll look like a fool for him by walking 15 feet to the same place everybody else in the church walked to already. And the enemy's whispering in your ear, oh, they're all going to know that you're not as cool as you think you are. They're all going to know. You can't let them know. They all think you got it together right now. Absolutely. Got us all fooled. Not so much, right? Not so much. Can I just be honest? That's not God whispering in your ear. Right? Oh, I got to keep it together to make them think that I got it all together. Nobody thinks you got it together. Good. Nobody is fooled. Nobody is fooled. Nobody, you're not, there's no illusions that you got, you're amazing and we want to be like you. That's why we invited you to church, right? That's not, am I going too far now, honey? Is that too much? If only our church could be like you. Let's invite you here. No, why? Because we all recognize, we all thought we had it together. We all recognize that we think we got life figured out, and then we meet the one who figured it all out, and we're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to life than I ever knew. There's so much more to freedom. There's so much more to knowing God, knowing my creator, knowing my purpose, knowing my identity. There's so much more than we ever knew. I want everybody to experience this. And if you got to lay down a little bit of awkwardness to get it all, I'm all for you being awkward. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you got to do, though, sometimes. Sometimes you got to just say, you know what? I'll be awkward and let God do what he wants to do in my life. And that doesn't ever end, by the way. That just doesn't ever end. But let's keep moving forward. I don't want to talk about that right now. But have you had to get awkward for Jesus? You just got to get awkward sometimes. Things get awkward. You know, you're talking to somebody and the Holy Ghost is telling you, yeah, guess what? They're not. They just really need to hear about me. Why don't you go and talk about me? So, yeah, those shoes I bought were just really neat and they were on sale. Yeah. And people are like, well, I got to go. Don't let her leave without telling her about me, please. Don't tell her. So, what are you making for dinner? Look at the rain outside. Just tell her about me. Tell her about the life. I'm telling you, she desperately needs me. Please, don't blow this. Don't. Okay, then, well, I got to go pick up people from school now. Like, you just got to get awkward sometimes. It's got to get awkward. Say, oh, yeah, I don't know why, but do you want to go to church, by any chance? Do you want to just, you know, I think Jesus is telling me to invite you to church. Are you serious? I've been looking for a church. What do you know? Just listen to God. Life gets so much better. Amen? Let me finish up with this. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Look at this with me. He says that we are born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, which will not fade away, which is reserved for us. Verse 5. He's talking about us now, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be reserved in the last time. Mike, would you come up? Write this down if you're taking notes. We're born again into protection. We're born again into protection. Look at verse 5 again. We are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What are you protected by? Let's look at the Bible. What are you protected by? What are you protected by? Say, I am protected by the power of God. Listen to this. In this context, can you turn them down just one touch if you would, please? In this context, that means, listen, you've been saved because of Jesus. Not you, but because of Jesus. You've been saved. He has stuff for you because he's good. And you can't blow it because you're being protected by not an angel, not by circumstances, not by family, not by your own prayers even. You're protected by the power of God. The power of God, it camps around you. You know what that means? What God has for you is for you. What God has for you is for you. It's protected by the power of God. Is protected. David wrote about this in Psalm 3. He's got enemies coming at him all over the place and he's being attacked and he doesn't know what's going to happen. And his enemies are saying, it's over for you. Not even God can save you. Not even God can reach you. There's nothing that can get to you now. There's nothing that can protect you. There's nothing that you could do to keep from your enemies getting at you. But David didn't listen to the lie. Look at this, Psalm 3, verse 3. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. That sounds like a living hope to me. That tells me that when I'm in the midst of calamity, and it looks like the world is closing in around me, and I don't know how I'm going to make it through the struggle, when I don't know how I'm going to make it through the trial, when I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation, when I don't have any clue how God is going to rescue me, when I turn my eyes to Him, He protects me, and He's the one who lifts my head. I don't even have to work it up on my own. I just got to look to Him. And He's the one who will lift my head in the midst of struggles. At salvation, you receive more than protector, more than protection. You receive the protector. Not just an alarm system. Not just a little burglar thing you put in the lawn saying, there's an alarm that goes off of you. No. You get the protector who comes and protects you. As long as you keep your eyes fixed on Him, who gets you through every battle, who gets you through every circumstance, you'll be able to look back and say, it is the Lord who brought me through all of that. I say all that to say that today, say today, today, this living hope, Jesus Christ, is connecting me to my inheritance. Right now, today, this living hope is percolating in this room. I got a call in my life, and it's something I like to do. I like when people have embraced their hopelessness, and I force them into a place of hope where they can't embrace it anymore. I like to knock the cane right off from under their hand. And right now, your hopelessness made a big mistake and brought you to the wrong place. Because right now, you're sitting in a wellspring of hope. Come on, we got to believe the Word of God, amen? We got to believe the Word of God, amen? We got to believe the Word of God, even when we disagree with it, amen? When we think we're a dirty, rotten sinner and the Word of God calls us a saint, we need to believe it. Amen? When we think that we've messed up and we've cut ourselves off from what God has for us, and the Word of God says that He's protected what He has for us, we got to believe the Word, amen? We're not allowed to believe this nonsense that we make up about ourselves. We got to be people of the Word, amen? We got to be people of the Word. And right now, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost of God is here and is beginning to stir up hope. He's beginning to stir up hope right now. And some of you have cut off hope because you called it fantasy. But His hope is more fantastical than anything you could make up on your own. Amen? Come on. Get excited. It is more fantastical than anything you could make up. And He's connecting you to it right now. I'm here to let you know the Holy Ghost of God is here right now and He's stirring up hearts. He's bringing this living hope alive on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, some of you are going to get to a place where you'll recognize that He wants to bless you just so people can see what a blessing looks like. Some of you who are willing to put your lives on display, He'll bless you just for other people to see what it looks like. You'll see yourself walk into a blessing. You're like, I don't even know how I got here, but I need the world to see it. I just need some people who will say, I'll take that. I'll be that. I'll be a landing pad for His blessings. I'll put Him on display. I'll put God on blast. I'll let the whole world know what He's done for me. I'm not ashamed. I'm shameless of what God did. Come on. Who's that? Who's that? Who is that? Who's that? Who's willing to have a living hope come alive today? I am serious right now. I feel like there's such a move of the Spirit of God in here right now. I feel like the angels of God are here and are ready to bring this living hope alive and connect you to your inheritance today. I just feel like there's a lot of broke people in this room who are leaving their inheritance in a bank account that you're not even going to visit. All right, I'm going to finish with this. Excuse me. The Lord gave me a vision recently. And in the vision, He showed me a call on my life that He showed me years ago. And when He showed me, I didn't know how I was going to do it. And this many years later, I still don't know how I'm going to do it. But it was so strong, he started talking to me about it again. Anybody have a word from the Lord that doesn't seem any closer now than when you first got it? Anybody willing to say, yeah, that's me? Now, I got a bunch that I've seen come to pass. Amen? So I know his voice. But it still doesn't make any sense. And he started showing it to me. And I'm like, Lord, why would you show me this in the midst of this presence? I'm trying to get some answers. You're showing me more of the mysteries. So then he started showing me more stuff that I can't do. And I'm like, great, you know, if we're trying to make me feel like a failure, you know, this is being very successful, God. I'm not sure what you're doing here. And so he's showing me stuff that he wants me to do. He's showing me inheritances. He's showing me these things. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Show me more. I was like, God, what's happening now? What's happening now? Then he shows me another place. Like, you're going to go here and do this. You're going to go here and do this. You're going to go here and do this. Has anybody had this happen? And I'm like, what in the world am I supposed to do with this, God? Then he very clearly showed me the secret place. He showed me in the secret place visiting my inheritance in heaven. And then going to this place. And going back to the secret place. Visiting my inheritance in heaven. And then going to that place. Then going back to the secret place. And visiting my inheritance in heaven. And then going to that place. Listen, on your own, you can't do it. And he'll just let you work away at it your entire life till you recognize that you can't do it without him. Without his favor, without his grace, without his presence on your life. Till you say, listen, he has something for me stored up in heaven that I need access to. That I need access to. Do you hear me? That I need access to. And the only way you get that access to that inheritance in heaven is in the secret place. Is in worship when you pour your heart out to him. It's when you go ahead and you give all you got for Jesus. It's when you do those acts of service at the prompting of the Spirit. It's when you give when you don't have to give. It's every act of humility and obedience to Jesus. Then all of a sudden, your inheritance in the secret place starts getting unlocked. And you start doing what you couldn't do before. You start doing the stuff that you don't know how to do. But it starts with you getting in the secret place with Jesus. And this is going to sound crazy to some of you, and it may look different for different people, but when you get alone with Jesus and you connect with heaven, you start getting a conduit to the provision of heaven. For some of you, that starts with just believing what God says, just to choke out the devil in your life so you can start working with what God has already given you. You have a measure of faith already that's not active because you're believing so many lies. Start declaring the truth of God's word over your life. And watch the faith he's given you increase. You get in the secret place and you cry out to Jesus. Man, I need, you've told me to reach this people group. You've told me I'm going to win the loss. You've told me I'm going to heal cancer. I need the anointing to heal cancer. And then you get up and you go and you try to heal cancer. And then you go back to the secret place. And I say, I need some more of that healing anointing, Jesus. I need some more of that power. I need some more of that favor in the business realm. Because you've called me to start massive businesses, to employ people. And you cry out in the spirit realm. And you pray. And you read the Bible. And you fast. Josh, I felt like earlier, this is funny because I completely forgot about this message, the word I was going to give you. But I felt like the Lord said that you're to start just consuming the Word of God. Consume the Word of God, because it's going to be, what I saw was like you had a gun belt and you just got a couple bullets in it. And it's going to be filled with the Word. You're going to recognize an authority, a prophetic authority, through having the word on tap. And I just see these verses that just will will scream out to you, that will have authority. You'll pull them out of your gun belt. But you got to immerse yourself in the Word. You got to be a student of the Word. You have to consume the Word. And that's for all of us. Get the truth of God inside of us. And then we go to heaven and say, I don't see it, Jesus. I need it on earth. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Kellyanne, can you come play? I just feel like you have something right now. Okay, listen, I'm going to release you in 2 minutes. And then we'll pray for everybody who wants prayer. But just give me 2 minutes. Let me just declare a blessing over you. Amen? Adjust her mic, too. She's probably going to sing at some point there, Mike. You ready? I'm going to challenge you right now to live lives. Let me say it this way. To live impossible lives. To live above your natural inheritance. To live above your lineage, to live above your resources, to live above your knowledge and above your wisdom. I am challenging you to live lives that are supernatural, that affect nations. Turn up the keyboard a little bit, JJ. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray for this group of people right here, and I bless them, Lord. I bless them to dream bigger dreams than they've ever dreamed. I bless them to seek out all that you have stored up for them in heaven. And I just see someone feeling so defeated. Just feeling despondent. This sense of failure, and you feel like there's no way to even get out of it. I feel like Holy Spirit has heard your cry. And there is a deliverance for you today. And today is your day of breakthrough. Today, out of that grief, out of those ashes, God will rebuild the city on those ruins. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come, do that. He's going to rebuild on those ashes of the ruined city. He's rebuilding on the ashes of that ruined city. I just see it right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and do it. Come, Holy Spirit, and do it right now in hearts, deeply in hearts, Lord. You've not disqualified yourself. You've not disqualified yourself. I see you. I see it. And the Lord has seen it. And this is not going to be your testimony. This is not the end of the story. But I'm here to let you know that your Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer lives. And you have been born again to a living hope. You have been born again to a living hope. If you will set your eyes on Jesus and you would dare to hope again, man, I see a whole company of angels waiting to storm into that situation. Wow. And I see you emerging from this season with a new power and a new authority and a new grace and a new peace. Wow. Diane, will you come to the intercession banner with your team? There's people who need to be born again to these hopes. They need to be born again to a living hope. They need to be born again to an inheritance. Because this is for every person who gives their life to Christ. But that's a choice you have to make. For some of you, that's a rededication that you have to make. In a moment, we're just going to welcome you to just come on over here to this prayer banner. They're going to pray for you. And you get all the goodness. Amen? All right, lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare blessings over their life. I declare power and freedom. Father, I declare the provision to do everything you've called them to do. I command in the name of Jesus for every person in this church who needs a breakthrough in their housing, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I command it to be loosed. Loosed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command every addiction to fall off of your people, Lord. I command